Our lesson tonight from the Word of God has to do with God's wisdom concerning being truthful. And youngsters, I want you to look up here, and don't raise your hand, but just think in your mind, all right? But I want you to think of how many of you have ever told a lie. How many of you have ever told a lie? Well, it was only a little white lie. Where do we get a definition of a little white lie? I didn't find that in my Bible. I found that God says a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. He doesn't differentiate between little white lies and big old black lies and yellow lies and purple lies. And you know, I'm finding more and more people are having a real problem with telling the truth. There was a time in our society when telling the truth was a virtue. And that those who didn't tell the truth were looked down on and thought bad of and avoided. But we've come to a place in our society where everybody pretty much figures, well, nobody tells the truth anymore. And that's a sad place to be. And we live in a society where people think, well, you have to lie to get along in this world. Because if you don't lie, you're not going to prosper. And you know, all of that is foreign to the Word of God. And God has a lot to say about being truthful and telling the truth. And it's important not just for the children, and I wanted them to hear this, but I want the adults to hear it as well. Because let me tell you, I've learned from experience and I've learned with working with other people, lying gets you into more trouble than you were in the first place. The truth is always better. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. The 18th century Scottish poet Sir Walter Scott observed, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." In spite of that insight and tacit warning, here we are in the 21st century, not only still practicing deceit, but actually facing an epidemic of lies and deception in churches as well as in culture. Scandals in politics and business are matched by scandals in religious circles. People have learned to justify lying and deception. Now, sometimes we think, well, yeah, it's out there, preacher. But friend, I want you to know it gets into the church. I read a thing in the paper about a month ago, a gal who was the treasurer for a church up here in Panarjo or somewhere up north of us, embezzled thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from the church. And they finally caught her. And how often do we hear about people embezzling from companies and corporations? Deceit, dishonesty, lying. It's wrong. The Bible helps us understand that lying comes naturally. Hey, you listening? Lying comes naturally. You know, nobody has to teach their children how to lie. They learn that all on their own. And I've dealt with some parents who have come to me and said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do. I have a child that constantly lies. And they don't learn it from me." And you know, many times that's the situation. No one has to learn how to lie. But what comes naturally is not appropriate for anyone who professes to be right with God. Solomon wrote a gripping account of God's attitude toward the liar. God hates everything about lying. Using our eyes and gestures as well as our words to deceive or communicate falsehood is an abomination to God. Now see, we're not just talking about the spoken lie. We're talking about all manners of deceit. Lying even when you're not using words. The negative results of lying and deception are all around us. Marriages are ruined. Families are splintered. Jobs are lost. Wars are fought. Billions of dollars are stolen. People suffer from diseases, I'm talking about for you adults, STDs, and I won't go any further than that, and AIDS. People are falsely jailed, careers are ruined, etc., and etc., all as a result of deceit and lying. Every once in a while, we get a news thing over the television. Somebody who was convicted of a crime 20 years ago is set free because they found out somebody lied and they really didn't do it. Satan's lying to Eve led to our first parent's sin, which in turn disrupted the peace and serenity of the Garden of Eden. Abraham and Isaac both risked God's blessing by lying about their wives. Jacob lied to obtain the birthright. David lied and deceived to cover his sin with Bathsheba. In the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira were the first recipients of church discipline. Their sin? Lying. Peter said they had lied to the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 21:8, we see God's wrath against this heinous sin as He includes all liars with those who will have a part in the lake of fire. The book of Revelation closes with a description of the holy city. The Apostle John wrote, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." God expresses His position on the lying tongue and the truthful tongue in Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. You know, one of the things we swallowed hook, line, and sinker is the devil's fed us this thing that a lie really isn't that bad. That there's a lot of worse sins than telling a lie. But I want you to know God spent a lot of time in His Word talking about lying and how wrong it is. Notice number one, God's condemnation of a lying tongue. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon expressed God's attitude toward lying. He cited three methods of deceit or misuse of information that are included under the umbrella of the term lying. A, the liar's tactics. The liar seems to draw heavily upon three main methods or tactics as he seeks to mislead others. These tactics are fabrication, deception, and flattery. Proficient liars use these tactics individually or in combination to achieve their ungodly goals. Solomon addressed each of these tactics and the heart attitude that lies behind the misleading words and actions of the deceiver or liar. The first method of the liar is fabrication, and this is probably the most popular kind of lying. Fabrication, hey listen, fabrication is the invention of a lie that is designed to deceive. It is the fabrication of facts. A fabricated message has no foundation in truth. You know, I had an experience when I was in Gastonia, and we had a Christian school there. And my house was about 150 yards away from the church and the school. And one Monday, I was over at the house, and I had to walk over to the church for something. And so I walked out the back door, and I was headed towards the church. And back in the school building on the second level, I saw somebody up in the window. And as I'm walking, I'm watching this individual, and it was one of our young men. And he had some kind of a book, and he was hanging it out the window doing like this. And then he threw it out the window. And he went back in. He never even knew I was there. So I wandered over to where the book fell, and I picked it up. It was one of our song books. So I got a little upset. And I went into my office, and I told my wife, she was my secretary, I said, "Get so-and-so down here in my office for me." And that boy came down. I said, "Come on in, I want to talk to you." And he sat down. I had the book laying there, and I said, "You ever see this book before?" "No." I said, "Now wait, look carefully. Did you ever see this book before?" "No." "You're sure you never saw this book before?" "No, I never saw that book before." I said, "Son, you're a liar." because I watched you throw this book out the window. No, I didn't do that. I watched you with these God-given eyeballs. I saw you do it. No, it wasn't me. It's amazing to me how some people tell lies. But you know, this young fellow didn't have very far to squirm. I mean, there wasn't much he could say about the matter. But you know what happened in a lot of cases? Instead of admitting and saying, yes, I did it, people will fabricate a big story. You know, somebody might have said, well, you know, it wasn't me, it was so-and-so, and I saw them, and you just thought it was me, and fabricate a story that way. Or somebody might have said, well, you know, I was over by the window, and it fell out of my hands. And you know, sometimes the stories are so ridiculous that people fabricate lies to try to cover up the truth. One thing, and you young people, listen to me, you learn this, whenever you lie, mark it down, you're going to have to tell more lies to cover the lie you just told. It's always that way. One lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie, leads to another lie. Fabrication. Fabrication, Solomon referred to fabricators as false witnesses, Proverbs 14:5. A false witness invents data to discredit or destroy someone or something else. Children often engage in this kind of lying, but so do many adults. These make up stories to suit their need. You know, when I was with the can company, I was a grievance man. How many of you know what a grievance man is? I was with United Steelworkers of America. I was a shop steward, and I was a grievance man. Now, I was working with so-called adult people. You had to be 18 just to get a job there. These were, for the most part, family people. Had wives or husbands and kids and that kind of thing. But you would not believe the number of people that would get in trouble and come to me and make up this great big lie and fabricate all kinds of stuff that none of it had any truth in order to get out of trouble. I remember one fellow had a habit of going to the bar at lunchtime. Our people were allowed to punch out and go to lunch wherever they wanted, as long as they were back on time. Well, this fellow had a habit of punching out, going to the bar, and most of the time he didn't come back on time. This one night he went down to the bar and he didn't come back on time. As a matter of fact, he was gone for 2.5 hours. When he came back, the foreman was standing at the time clock waiting for him. So the foreman said, in my office, and they called for me, the grievance man, and we went in and sat down. The foreman said, this man's been gone for 2.5 hours. Well, I didn't have a chance to talk to the man to find out what was going on. I said, well, what do you have to say? He said, well, I was down at the bar, and I was going to come back, and I went out, and I had a flat tire. And then when I went to change my tire, I didn't have a jack. And so I looked around. It took me a little while to find a jack that would work. I finally got a jack. When I took the tire off, I didn't have a spare. Then I had to call somebody to bring it. And he went into this big story. And you know, it sounded pretty good. He had me convinced. So the foreman, he said, well, don't you ever let it happen again. He gave him a good chewing out, sent him out. We got out on the floor. I said, did that really happen? He said, no, that was a big lie. Fabricating things just to get out of trouble. And you know, children do it, and big kids do it. And all of it, whether you're that big or you're that big, it's still a lie. People fabricate stories for various reasons, such as to avoid the consequences of some misdeed, to hurt others, or to boost one's own reputation or status. Or, I ought to add in there, to cover up. What are you talking about? To cover up sin. Did you do such and such? No. Remember Saul? When Samuel confronted him and said, did you do what God told you to do? Oh yeah, I did. Did just what God... That was a lie. Solomon makes several references to a lying tongue in Proverbs 12:19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. 21:6. You listening, guys? Don't make me send you to your parents. 21:6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro from them that seek death. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. A lying tongue is listed in Proverbs 6:17 as one of the six things the Lord Himself hates, and verse 19 shows it to be one of the seven things that are an abomination to Him, along with a false witness that speaketh lies. Solomon addresses the sin of lying lips and a false witness in many other places in Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 14:25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. A lying tongue and lying lips, then, are the tools of a sinful heart that ultimately produce the fruit of falsehood. A specific Hebrew term is used and is translated lying. It means falsehood, deception, or lying. It bears testimony of cheating or trickery. The emphasis seems to be that the words that issue from the tongue and lips are divorced from the facts. The word translated lie comes from a word that emphasizes the actual act of lying. As the most common word for lying, it appears frequently in Psalms, Proverbs, and prophetic books. While lying characterizes mankind, it does not characterize God. Deception. Not only do people use fabrication and come up with these big stories that have no fact, not based on any facts, just big stories they make up, but then deception, another form of lying. It's another tactic the liar employs. Using this tactic, watch this, he twists or distorts the truth to suit his purpose. How many of you ever listened to politicians? Hold up your hand if you ever listened to politicians. You know, most of them are just bold-faced liars. Because they take facts and twist them and turn them to suit themselves. You know what we call, who knows what we call it today? Clinton was just adept at it. Spin. Putting the right spin on it. Taking the fact and spinning it to the way you want it to be so you can present it the way you want it to sound. Instead of telling the truth. Deception is another tactic that liar employs. He twists and distorts the truth to suit his purpose. The writer of Proverbs described this deceiver as, that's froward, I'm sorry. My computer corrected that word for me. The word means perverse and speaks of one who desires to do wrong rather than right. So if you're the kind of person who takes facts and twists and turns them to your own benefit, then the Bible says that you're being deceptive and you are actually perverse. Now, Solomon speaks of the evil intentions of a liar who purposes to deceive in several ways in Proverbs. In Proverbs 12:17, he said, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. 12:20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace and joy. 14:25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 16:28-30, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Proverbs 21:6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. The deceitful person is an abomination to the Lord. God is for truth, honesty, and integrity. God hates the froward person. who are all about deception and lies. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Note, oftentimes Christians think deception is okay as long as they don't tell any lies. Hey, listening to me? A lot of times Christians think deception is okay if they don't outright tell a lie. You know, that's a false assumption. God makes clear His disdain for deception as well as for lying. Let me illustrate. Let's say we have a Christian who wants to sell an automobile. Now, he knows there's a major problem with this automobile. But he also knows that if he don't sell it, he's going to lose a lot of money. And so he advertises the automobile for sale. And when people come and look at it, he doesn't divulge to them, well, this thing has major problems. He just lets them think that everything's fine. That's deception. We have people today who will turn this speedometer on automobiles back. The odometer, I'm sorry. To reduce the number of recorded miles and make a car that has many, many miles on it seem like a low-mileage car. And if nobody ever says, well, is that actually mileage? Is that the real mileage on this car? Well, they're going to feel like, well, I didn't tell any lies. Nobody asked me. That's deceptive. We're not supposed to be that way. Number three, flattery or embellishing the facts. One man even included exaggeration in this. Now, let me say something to you about exaggeration. We all exaggerate. Hello? Anybody here who never exaggerates? I mean, how many times have we said, well, I've done that a million times? And we didn't. You know, I could eat a horse. I hope that's an exaggeration. And I don't think the fellow I was reading after, I don't think he was really pinpointing that kind of exaggeration. But you know, sometimes we embellish things and we exaggerate things, and in reality, we are lying. We embellish things to our advantage so that we can take advantage of somebody else. That's lying. That's deceitfulness. That's flattery or embellishing the facts. Solomon referred to exaggerators as flatterers. He used this term especially in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. To refer to immoral woman, he warned his son not to let them deceive him. According to Proverbs 5, 3, the immoral woman speaks words that are smoother than oil. She catches her victim by flattering him. She falsely builds him up, watch this, before she destroys him. You know, that pattern hadn't changed. The immoral woman knows how to play a man. They know how to stroke his ego. I remember one fellow that worked at the can company with me. We had gals mostly for Packers, and they hired this one young gal, and she was in her mid-20s, I guess, and she was divorced, and she was packing on this fellow's machine, and he was happily married, had a couple of boys, was, as far as we knew, you know, everything was fine. And then one day we saw him getting close to this girl, and it wasn't long till he had left his wife and was chasing after this girl. And you know, she ran him for about 3 months, and then she dropped him like a hot potato. And you know, during that time, he had lost weight, and you know, he started coming into work looking spruced up, and you know, that kind of thing. And I'm sure she was pumping him up with a lot of flattering words. But you know, the end of it was destruction. Now, I'm thankful that the man was able to get back with his wife. She was gracious and long-suffering with him and took him back. But you know, that gal reminds me of the immoral woman in the Bible. Builds him up before she destroys him. Flattering words. God denounces the practice of empty flattery. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Proverbs 29:5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. You know what it's talking about? When somebody starts flattering you, you better look out. They're laying a trap. You ever been around a good salesman? They know how to flatter, don't they? Yeah, you ever get on a car lot with a good car salesman? You know, he'll tell you how nicely dressed you are, or he'll tell you what a nice neighborhood you live in. Whatever he can find, he's going to flatter you. And he'll tell you how wise you are to be looking at this particular car. And he'll tell you just what an economic genius you are for the financing that you're looking for. And he'll just puff you up. And all the while, he's waiting. He's laying his trap. And he's going to get you. Flattery. When somebody starts flattering you, you better start watching. It says that immoral people are not the only people who use flattery to influence others. Anyone who embellishes the facts to distract another person and mislead him or her is a lying flatterer. B, the liar's tragic condition. We've seen his ploys, his ways. What's his situation now? Proverbs 6:16-19 lists lying among the sins God considers to be abominations. The liar is an ally of Satan's, who is a liar and the father of it, according to John chapter 8 and verse 44. Listen, when you start telling lies, you're lining yourself up with him. Because he's the father of that. Instead of guiding his life by God's word, the liar pursues the path of the devil. He chooses darkness instead of light. He relies upon his ability to deceive his way out of problems rather than trusting God and following God's ways to overcome difficulties. Now, I want you young people to listen to me. As children, many times we think, the answer to my trouble, I'm going to get in trouble, the answer is to make up a big lie to get out of it. And God says, oh no. No, you're going to learn it's better to tell the truth, take your punishment. And that's what Proverbs teaches us here. We need to learn to not try to cover up our problems and our failures and admit them. Number four, he is God's foe rather than his friend. His situation is perilous. His words are pernicious. And his self-confidence is presumptuous. Number five, he is carnal, following the ways of the natural man rather than the ways of the Spirit. Listen to me. If you've got a problem with lying, you're not walking in the Spirit. What's Galatians 5, chapter 6, or verse 16 tell you? If we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? Hello? Anybody in here? So if I'm lying and I'm continuously telling false things, it's evident I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to tell the truth. Amen, preacher. So the next time you want to tell one of those golly whoppers that you're so guilty of telling, remember, it's going to brand you for where you are spiritually. Number two, the commendation of a truthful tongue. God has a lot to say about the lying tongue and how wrong it is and how God hates it, but he has some things to say about those who tell the truth. Solomon reported not only God's attitude toward liars, but also God's attitude toward those who tell the truth. Those who honor the truth can expect to see the triumph of their words in at least three ways. Telling the truth demonstrates righteousness, displaces wickedness, and delivers the truth teller and others from injustices. Number one, it demonstrates righteousness. The telling of truth demonstrates righteousness in the truth teller. The term showeth forth, as used in Proverbs 12:7, conveys the idea of making something conspicuous or noticeable. You know, when people see truth in your life and they see that even in times when a lie would profit you, but you stand and you tell the truth, even though it's going to cost you, it demonstrates to people there's something different about you. We evidence what is inside of us by our deeds, i.e. truth-telling. You know, when you get around somebody and you can't trust anything they're saying, it pretty much tells you about their heart, doesn't it? Two, it displaces wickedness. Proverbs 8:7. Truth and falsehood are mutually exclusive. Do you understand what that means? You can't have truth and falsehood together. Truth and lies can't coexist. It's like light and dark. They can't. One has to go when the other one comes. By telling the truth, we eliminate the possibility of telling lies. James wrote that sweet water and bitter water do not flow from the same source. Telling the truth or telling of lies becomes a pattern. Listen, young people, listen to me. Telling the truth or telling lies becomes a pattern in a person's life, which becomes the norm for that person or habit of that person. Listen, if you develop a habit right now and a norm in your life right now of telling lies for the rest of your life, you're going to be nothing but a false, telling, lying person. You know, that's why every time you tell a lie, mom and dad whoop you or discipline you. Because they know what happens if you're allowed to continue telling lies. It becomes a way of life. I'm going to tell you, I've met some people, honest to goodness, I had a nephew, by my own brother's testimony. He said, my son will lie when the truth would do him better. He was a habitual liar. He just had to lie. And there's people like that all around us. And what's happened is they've developed a pattern in their life of telling lies. And you know, one scary thing about it is, these people sometimes believe their own lies. They really do. They'll look you eye to eye and swear on the Bible. They're telling you the truth when you know they're lying. You better be careful about telling a little lie here and a little lie here. Pretty soon it becomes a habit. Comes away alive. And number three, truthfulness delivers us from injustice. A false witness causes or supports injustice. Someone who lies is someone who's advocating injustice. You ever get lied on by somebody? You ever have somebody point the finger at you and say, you did something that you didn't do? Isn't that injustice? Where's it coming from? A liar. Now, what's the antidote for that? Truth. If people just tell the truth, we're not going to have injustice. We're going to get blamed for what we do. Amen. You know, a lot of times, I'll tell you, when you go out of here, be careful how you quote me. Because I can get in enough trouble myself without you misquoting me. But I'll tell you what, people have gone out of here, and not by accident, but on purpose, have lied and misquoted me. Now that's an injustice. That's a misrepresentation. It's not fair to me, it's not fair to our church to do that. If people would just tell the truth, then if I said something wrong, then okay, I'll take the licks for it. But when people go and say, well, this was said or this was done, and it's a lie, then there's injustice there. B, the truthful witness has the ability to help and the responsibility to prevent injustice. And then B, the testimony of the truthful. Here's the testimony of a person who tells the truth. By telling the truth, followers of Jesus Christ testify to a spiritual relationship with God and they enhance their testimony. Telling the truth shows the believer to be committed to Christ. Christians should tell the truth and live the truth simply because we belong to Christ. The believer who commits to telling the truth bears witness to the Scriptures. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. Therefore, those who speak as his children should speak truthfully. As the word of God sanctifies the believer, he or she will be more consistent in telling the truth. Number three, the Holy Spirit enables a believer to tell the truth. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Indwelling the believer, the Holy Spirit will influence him or her to tell the truth. Now, I want you to think about back before you got saved. Are you there yet? We're going back to before we trusted Christ. Remember how it was? Remember how you could lie with the best of them, didn't bother you? As long as you got what you wanted, as long as it turned out your way, you could lie. Why, everybody did it. What's the big deal? But now I want you to jump ahead a little bit after you got saved and remember how you tried to lie? And all of a sudden something in here began to tell you, we don't do that anymore. And you thought, oh, you know, one little lie ain't going to hurt me. And that voice was still in there. And now every time you go to tell a lie, there's something inside of you says, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. That's a lie. And maybe you're spiritual enough to where you told a lie and that voice talked to you and you went to whoever you lied to and said, I'm sorry. I told a lie. I was wrong. Forgive me. That's what happens. The person who wants to tell the truth. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, He convicts us. And I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe any born-again Christian can really lie with impunity. I'm talking about they can't lie without conviction. The question is, what do you do about the conviction? Remember Sunday morning sermon? Some of you still got sore toes. Hard hearts? He's convicted you and you've just hardened your heart. Well, go ahead. Just remember, people watching. They see you. And there's a world out there and we're trying to win them to Christ. You know, they're not going to listen to somebody who lies to them. You know, if you lie to that guy next to you at work, about work or about money or whatever, and then you go back to that same guy and try to tell him about Christ, what's he going to think? Why should I believe you? I can't trust you. You lied to me. Maybe that's why we're not winning a lot of folks we know to Christ. Can't trust us. Lying is a serious, serious matter. And over and over and over and over again in the Word of God, we see people lying and we see where it gets them. And the liar, listen to me, the liar never prospers. He always pays a great price for his lies. Truthfulness. We better learn to be a people of truthfulness. Well, if I tell the truth, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, you deserve to be in trouble. Well, if I tell the truth, I'm going to hurt somebody. Well, keep your big mouth shut then. But don't lie. Speaking the truth consistently is a necessity for the believer. Fail to do so leads to all manner of problems, causes us to be out of fellowship with God, aligns us with Satan, our archenemy, and ruins our credibility. On the other hand, truthfulness pays a wealth of dividends. I hope it can be said of you, well, so-and-so might have their faults, but one thing about them, they're truthful. One thing about them, they won't lie to you. Anybody in here have a doctor you go to? Hold up your hand if you got a doctor you go to. How would you feel if you found out your doctor lied to you? Would you go back to him? Why not? How many of you have a bank you deal with? How would you feel if you found out your bank lied to you? You'd be looking for another bank. How do you think that world would feel if they found out the person who was talking about Christ had been lying to them?